Hey everybody, Evan Kerstell here. It's rare you get a legend to join the podcast, but we have one today in the form of Lee Caswell. Lee, how are you?
I'm good, Evan. Nice to see you, and thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. You're the ultimate industry insider. I think everyone in compute, cloud, networking knows you and who you are and your work these days at Nutanix, but maybe introduce yourself, and I won't do you justice here.
I think what you're saying is I'm old. I'm not sure, but I am thrilled to be. I'm the Senior Vice President of Product Solutions Technical Marketing here at Nutanix. And as you suggested, have worked through, storage. Actually started my career in a lot of hardware businesses, So it's been super interesting, I think, to look at how, new software architectures take advantage of the latest in server, capabilities. Is really transforming the industry. So lots going on. Couldn't be more exciting time in the market, I think.
Well, excitement around hardware is back, as we see at GTC, NVIDIA's big powwow this week, and we're going to dive into that. But, maybe give the audience here a snapshot of Nutanix's main mission and goals these days. I've been following you for many years. But tell us about what's exciting, top of mind.
Well, what's interesting, I think, is that we're following this path of consolidating and expanding. The industry does this over time, right? And so there's a lot of consolidation around cloud, for example, right? And then people, as they started realizing, and particularly data people, right? Data people realize that, the data is going to be more distributed over time. And you mentioned GTC. So these AI workflows, I think, are inherently at least hybrid cloud and potentially multi-cloud in nature, right? You've got development happening in the public cloud. You've got systems running in private data centers, right? And then you're going to have inferencing, some of the new things being announced around inferencing, right, happening closer to the edge. And so as data gets more distributed, you start looking for how do you think about having a commonality across those so you don't get overrun with the management of these. And that's one of the things I'm excited about what Nutanix is doing. So once you move to a server-based system, every modern cloud is based on servers. And then you can run software, right, that runs across these servers. And now you can start consolidating things. So I remember, when we used to have separate blocks and file systems and object stores were separate, right? Well, now you can get those together with software that supports them. You can have common data services for VMs and containers. I mean, these are the sort of things. And now you can run it across the public cloud and on-prem and at the edge. These are things that really get people excited.
Excited indeed. So your clients are excited. And, what are the top 1, 2, 3 issues that you're helping them tackle, given the landscape of challenges, obstacles, roadblocks out there? What are you hearing today?
I mean, certainly number one on every CIO's list is security. So, the issue, and you start thinking, well, how does modernizing my, even on-prem infrastructure help with that? Because, traditional, what we call three-tier here, right, which is basically separate servers, you got a hypervisor, you've got a storage system, right, and you've got usually fiber channel infrastructure. The issue there is that patching all these systems for, let's call it security risks, like Log4j, I remember, right? It's a big issue. If you have to patch individual components, it actually takes a long time. And it takes experts across different teams. And so the ability to get to a single stack, right, where you can upgrade all of the elements down from the, even down to the IO controller, the firmware controllers, right, within a server system, that's a very interesting solve for customers trying to get to like a remediated security position more quickly. And so security is a big one. It ties into the second one that's top of mind, which is the race for talent. Like, how do I get talented people, right? My daughter's a data scientist, for example, she wasn't interested in going to become, patching a SAN system wasn't part of what she's in the least bit interested in. Here's what happens, right? As you can start using generalists to do that type of work, now all of a sudden you can help get very sophisticated enterprise level infrastructure that's supportable by generalists. And that's, I think, it's a bit interesting solve for these days and times.
Indeed. Yeah, that's a huge opportunity and requirement. So cloud is no longer a trend. It's sort of the destination. We're all getting there to various degrees. But it's a complex landscape. It's no longer, you know, okay, just public cloud. We have multi-cloud increasingly. We have hybrid cloud, which will remain for some time. What's the balance that you're seeing out there today? And how do you see this settling?
Well, I think it's changing in the sense that, you know, 5 years ago, I think there was a sense, hey, if I was going to the cloud first, right, or moving things to the cloud, that there was an opportunity to like cap investment perhaps on-prem and just, you know, kind of let that go over time. A little bit like Unix systems, right? You know, but what we found instead, right, is as the data is being distributed, as people started thinking a little more let's call it judiciously, about where to place applications and data. So for performance, for cost reasons, or for security reasons. And then also two important developments happened. I think you'll appreciate this, Evan, right? So for data, right? You know, Amazon made S3 effectively the standard for portability of data across the hybrid cloud. Similarly, Google open sourced Kubernetes as a way to go and have a portability standard for applications. So you can almost start to think about how to free ride on these two standards now for data and application portability. And once you move to a server-based system with software, you can start thinking about now I've opened up the floodgates almost, right? I think hybrid cloud is first, you know, to one cloud. But as people start thinking about multi-cloud, and certainly some of the cloud moves recently to minimize egress costs, we're going to have people thinking about how might I move data across cloud providers in order to access different PaaS level services. We think we have a good play there, right? And in fact, Nutanix could even be like, think of it as the edge for every cloud.
Interesting proposition. And speaking of edge, I'm at Enterprise Connect next week, where the big topic is, you know, what's next in collaboration and contact center and IoT and all of these things within the enterprise, and enterprise leaders are sort of struggling on how to practically implement AI. What are they telling you in terms of their, again, the enterprise CIO, the big changes they're facing, and how to get started on this journey?
Yeah, there's certainly been a lot of, certainly a lot of interest, right? And you think, well, why, right? Why did ChatGPT like capture people's minds and interest so fast? Because, you know, AI has been around for almost 30 years, really. But what happened was it became obvious and accessible to people to get the benefits of AI. You didn't have to be a data scientist in order to go and see. And you got a sense of the speed. And speed, right, is really today's competitive currency, right? If you think about applications as being the way that you build customer loyalty, if you're, you know, anywhere from an airline, right, if you travel now, you can track your bags, you're getting rebooked on flights if they're delayed, right? It was really the apps that are providing the kind of integrated experience, if you will. So the ability to go do things at speed means that new applications, and now we're starting to see what they're bubbling up with. So it could be like a support copilot. Usually information's out there. How do I get it more quickly? AI can be a solve for that. Or a chatbot, right? So I can go and basically get information more quickly. Or maybe a fraud detection system for video. So I think customers are looking at these and saying, well, how do I get there faster? Like, how do I get started? And so, you know, we've announced this thing called GPT in a box, which basically says, yeah, let's take like GPU enabled systems. We'll certify those, right? So you can make sure you're sizing and configuring it correctly. And then we'll take and basically take the application elements from companies like Hugging Face, for example. And now I can basically start building that together. And Nutanix is helping with the stitching the workflow together with Kubeflow, for example. And so this becomes a way to get started without breaking the bank and use all of the same server management capabilities you have today. For us, AI is just the next application.
That's phenomenal. It looks like you might be at GTC with the green background there. Is this something you've announced or are launching with NVIDIA or part of their partner program? Or what's your go-to-market look like?
Yeah, great question. Well, we are a partner for the NVAIE, where the E is for enterprise, right? Applications or libraries. So we've got those supported today, and we're a partner with NVIDIA. Excuse me.
The beauty of live streaming is, you can't escape the hiccups.
Am I going to sneeze or am I not going to sneeze, right?
So, we do it all here. Yes, no worries.
You got to see a piece of it. So, and then you start thinking, well, now in terms of like the application base, can we go and help get customers more quickly involved? It's interesting that NVIDIA today has announced something called NIMS, right? Which is their ability to have new containerized versions of their AIE libraries. We think that's a really great thing because that's going to mesh really nicely, completely complementary to the GPT in a box support we have to go and take those libraries, build them into the infrastructure, and then importantly, make them enterprise ready, day two supportable, right? All the things that infrastructure folks really, at the end of the day, get paid for.
Indeed. So you mentioned some of the challenges around implementing Gen AI, AI solutions, talked about workforce and talent issues. What else are you seeing in terms of the roadblocks? I imagine things like technical debt and, legacy technology is sort of a boat anchor out there. What else?
Well, one thing is that I think a lot of customers initially thought that containers, right, which are, were probably initially when I was at VMware, right, were thought of as, potentially a risk to virtualization, are actually a complementary technology because, containers help speed the development and the testing of applications and remove OS dependencies. So one of the things that's interesting is infrastructure users are thinking, hey, how do I take this new container technology and support it and basically make it, can I do it with my existing tool set? We did some surveys here at Nutanix showing that most customers thought they were going to have to change their underlying infrastructure to support AI. And we're out to say, no, you can do it actually with your existing systems. You need GPUs, right? Although there's some interesting CPU technologies with, RAG being and vector processing being proposed. But, today using GPUs, I can go and assimilate those. And if I can go treat those new containers exactly the same, so I can do snapshots, I can do replication, I can do DR, same data services. Now, all of a sudden, containers are just another form of enterprise-ready workloads. And so I think that's one of the things that I've seen is customers who thought containers or maybe hoped containers were going to be limited to the public cloud are finding that, hey, this is coming into the private data center, even to the edge, and AI is going to be a big driver of that.
Fantastic opportunity. So you sell and market into every vertical out there. I'm curious your take on the different verticals where you're seeing the most traction with your leading edge technology. I was just at HIMSS, where healthcare is in the midst of rapid, massive change and disruption for good, hopefully. But tell us about where you sell your solutions and how they're being adopted.
I was at HIMSS also, and I was excited to see that AI was a topic of every conversation. And, one of the reasons why is that, there's an amazing amount of, I hate to say drudgery, but if you think about claims coding or claims processing, payers, right, have a huge amount of effort. And if you ever try to like negotiate or navigate that yourself as a user, right, it can be a morass, right? So the ability to speed that up really helps drive, as I mentioned, competitive advantage. So that's one way to think about it. There's also for the providers, right? The ability to go start thinking about intelligent diagnoses, right? Or looks through video things where it doesn't eliminate judgment. Like I would never say that, but it does change the way in which you're able to process much more information more quickly and then present to trained experts, decisions that need to be made at that point. And so I think the healthcare market is really primed for this. Lots of interest there. Also, financial services, right? So for financial services, thinking about making recommendations, right? Or starting to think about how you would go and have more easy access to more information is actually one of the areas that I think is basically makes complicated financial decisions more more accessible to more people. So I'm excited about that. Last one, by the way, is public sector. You're seeing a lot of interest in public sector. I've been traveling actually around the world about public sector institutions looking at how to make sense of whether video data, right, or other things. And so lots of interesting applications. The commonality, by the way, is, can I do it within my existing tooling set? Can I bridge to the cloud? Is there a way to go do that? And one important element is that, can I run where the data is in an untethered, disconnected manner? This is very important, right? So think about, you know, it turns out like HCI, which is what we invented, right? This hyper-converged infrastructure, now transforming to what we call hybrid multi-cloud, actually can run, scale down and run. And so if you're running in a wind farm, let's say, or an oil rig or a manufacturing facility or a hospital, you don't rely, you're not dependent on an active cloud connection. And so you can run these independently. That's really important to make sure that, you know, running AI doesn't mean that you have any sort of like enterprise risk of continuous operations.
Well, great, great point. Let's shift gears a little bit. You have an amazing career arc. And, you know, for younger folks, I say kids in their 20s and 30s, you know, it's a tough time to be a professional in tech. Lots of change and disruption, sadly, layoffs. Any advice to stay ahead of the curve as a tech professional, IT professional? What should she or he do to kind of adapt to this kind of crazy environment we found ourselves in?
I think, you know, one of the hallmarks of being successful in this space, right, is just a continued curiosity and interest in new things. And so, you know, the fact that things were announced today and we're already talking about it and like, how would it take? Yeah, it doesn't mean you have all the answers, by the way. So I would never assume that. But that level of curiosity where you can assimilate new things, it turns out, right, that learning new things is hard. It forces you to, in many cases, give up things that you already knew, right, that you built your career on before. And then, you know, starting to think, well, all right, how do I go and help with a new way that the industry would learn? So I think there's this continued model of almost discarding things you learned early in order to go and learn new things. I mean, I knew a lot about semiconductor manufacturing.
That was a double E. So yes, it was not that helpful now doing social media, but yeah, it's good times. Yeah.
And yet, you know, it's also interesting. You know, one of the things I loved hearing Steve Jobs' commencement address at Stanford. It was really interesting talking about his early stage of learning fonts, right? And how learning fonts, right, became one of the hallmarks of how, you know, Apple became successful, was making fonts easily accessible for, you know, creative people. And so it was interesting. No, I think no matter what you learn, you know, retain it in the sense that it may become useful later down the line.
Oh, I love that. And I mean, the other, I guess, last question here, I see you like to work hard and play hard. You're out and about, you're playing tennis, you're doing all kinds of fun things. That seems like a great personal habit or practice to put into your personal life. Any other growth hacks or tips, tricks on just day-to-day work life?
Yeah, I think, you know, being active is actually fun. And, you know, anything that takes your mind off of, for me, you know, just doing the same thing over and over again becomes a little bit, you get a little run down actually trying to do that, right? And travel can be either exciting or it can be wearing. And it's a little bit about your frame of mind. How do you feel about it, right? And so, you know, I try and go into things thinking, well, this will be exciting, but then also make sure I got enough time off to go and, you know, whether it's skiing or mountain biking or pickleball now is the latest thing I know for folks. Uh-huh. And so that's kind of a fun area to try out. So find time, right, to go and regroup.
Oh, I love that. Very good advice. And sorry to get all touch and feely. We'll get back to business. Last question. What are you looking forward to the next couple of months? Any travel, trips, events, yours or partner events you're especially looking forward to?
Yeah, you bet. You know, I was just at Cisco Live, which was in Amsterdam. It was really interesting. You know, we've done we have a joint relationship with Cisco now. They're reselling our products. We're doing joint integration work, joint development around ACI, Intersight, a bunch of just exciting stuff around, you know, two big companies coming together. So that's exciting. Our own user conference, .next, happens in May in Barcelona. So Barcelona is a wonderful town.
Just there for Mobile World Congress. So what a joy.
It's a fantastic city. And so, you know, we're excited about getting our top customers and prospects together, our partners. It's a great opportunity there to go, you know, experience the latest in, you know, cloud computing, what we're doing with containers, AI, new application environments, and to learn from others, right, who are in the space. So that's one I'm particularly excited about. And I think, you know, customer visits, we are meeting with some of the largest customers who have, you know, been kind of set on a trajectory for years. And now because of some industry dynamics, right, are really looking at alternatives. And Nutanix, fortunately, right, is one of the ones that they're, you know, is top of the list.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for sharing just a quick update. And everyone reach out, follow Lee on social media, LinkedIn, yeah. Twitter. And good luck with the pickleball and tennis. You're having a blast, obviously. And I'll catch you out there in the market.
Evan, thanks so much. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.